We're going to take a brief look at this passage today. We'll have more opportunity next week, but I want to think about this for a second. Think about focus in life, and you might know some single-focused people, people who concentrate their efforts primarily on a single thing. They just say, this is what my life is about. What might single-focused people focus on? What are some things people who are really concentrated say, this is what my life is about? Career. Excellent. Yeah, for some people. Family. Themselves. We won't ask you to look any direction right now. Yeah, what else might people really focus on? What was that? On a belief. Yes. Yeah. What was that?
Newborns.
Yeah. What was that? Yeah, so athletes who single focus on that. Yeah, anything else? Health. Good. What was that?
Justice.
Yeah. So let me say this. This is an idea that it's not usually a good thing to only focus on one thing. This usually, you can do really well at this one thing, but so many other things suffer. And so rather than single-focused people, most of us are juggling people. And so this is where we try to pursue multiple priorities. Say there's multiple things that I have to deal with, to juggle. And it's all those things we just talked about, the juggling people try to juggle. Anybody here a juggler? Anybody know how to juggle? That's great. How many things can you juggle? Three balls? Can you juggle four balls? No? Two balls? Can anybody juggle one thing? No. So what happens if you're a juggler and somebody gives you something else? Right? What generally happens is I can kind of juggle three things. If you give me a fourth thing, what do you think happens? It all falls on the floor, right? What does juggling feel like in life? Exhausting. Rat race. Struggling. Yeah, what else would you say it feels like to juggle? What was that?
New curves.
Yeah, so many things to deal with, and we wonder, how are we ever going to get these things done? And then guess what happens? Somebody says, you ought to add Christianity to that. And then Christianity becomes another thing that we try to add to it. And it doesn't work out very well a lot of the time. I feel like I'm just stretched further in more different things. And like juggling, sometimes I drop everything. Let's ask God to be speaking as we look at this brief story today. Now, Father in heaven, this time now, we ask by the miraculous power of your presence through your Holy Spirit that you would speak to us, that we would have hearts to hear, and that you'd change us by your powerful word. Help us to be your servants who want to hear your voice, to walk in your ways. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So you want to have a Bible. We're going to look at a few verses in Acts 8, and we might get a chance to talk about this picture. You might have to wait till next week to explore it a little bit more. In Acts 8, we're just going to look at this. It's about eight verses, and if you would turn there, and I want to take a minute and read it for you. So we have this setting where news about Christianity came to a new place. And when the news about Christianity came to this new place, people heard it. They said, wow, this is true. And they said, you know what, this is somehow better, more powerful than things we've seen before. And these people really liked power. And what we're going to look at today is one man named Simon. And Simon was a sorcerer. Simon had power in evil spirits. And Simon encountered a greater power. So if you would look at, that was Acts 8. We're going to start at verse 18. So Simon has encountered a power that was more powerful than the one he had seen before. And we're told this. So Acts 8, verse 18. When Simon saw that the Spirit was giving at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money and said, give me also this ability so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit. Simon was a magician. Simon knew about power, and he says, wow, here's a power. I want it. Can I buy that? Could I somehow get that and add that to the other things that I have? Right? Simon knew a lot of different techniques and strategies. And he says, here's a new one. I don't know about this one. I wonder if I can buy it. I want to add that to my mix. And here's the response of Peter. Verse 20. Peter answered, may your money perish with you, because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry because your heart is not right before God. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord in the hope that he may forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. For I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin. Then Simon answered, pray to the Lord for me so that nothing that you have said may happen to me. I look at Simon and, you know, Simon believed. He believed in Jesus and he was baptized. And I think, so good. And Simon says, you know what? I want this power to give the Holy Spirit to people. I want that. Can I buy it? Is there any way I can get it? And my inclination would have been to say to Simon, good idea. Let's just not think about money. But okay, we can add this. Let's pursue this for you. Peter said, this is wickedness. The question is, what's wickedness? Simon said, I want to add Jesus to my life. I want to add Jesus to the rest of what I have to help me do what I've been doing, to help me be more effective in my life. I like it when people pay attention to me, and so I want more of that. I wonder if Jesus can help me with that. Simon tried to add Jesus to the rest of the things he was juggling. And Peter said, that's wickedness. That's not who Jesus is. Let me step ahead. I want to show you the words that make up the name of Jesus. We speak of the Lord Jesus Christ. All three of these names are essential. Jesus is the name of a human being, and he understands our weaknesses and challenges. Jesus became a human being. He was the Son of God, but he became a human being, and he knows what life is like. He knows what it's like to be sick and tired and have too many things to do and have people be mean to you and be confused about the future that looks like it has suffering in it. He knows all about these things. So we rejoice that he is a person like us. Jesus is also the Christ. And as the Christ, he's the Messiah. He's the Savior. He's the one who rescues us from our sin and shame. And what good news this is. And these two words I find so encouraging. Jesus is one who understands me. And I come and I say, I'm tired. And he says, I know what it's like to be tired. I come and I say, people don't understand me. And he says, I know what it's like when people don't understand you. And then I can come to him and say, and Jesus, I failed. I've messed up. And he says, that's okay, because I'm your Savior. I'm here to rescue you. I'm here to help you recover from what seems like an impossible situation. I am here with my grace for you. He is Jesus, and he is Christ. And he's also Lord. And I think this is what Simon didn't quite understand yet. He says, wow, there's something really special in Jesus. I find a power that I would like to have be a part of my life. I'd like to bring him into my life. And yet when we say that Jesus Christ is Lord, he's God. He is a sovereign power. He has the authority to demand anything of you and me. He has total authority. He is God. And we can't pick and choose, right? That we can't have Jesus without all three of these words. He is Lord Jesus Christ, right? We can't have him with all three of these words, and yet we find in Jesus this very thing. We find that he is the Son of God who said this, or we're told this of him. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? You see, the one who can demand anything of us, could demand that we give up our life today, could end all that we value just because he chooses to. That very one is the one who said, I give my son so that you have life. I have given my son, and the Apostle Paul argues, if he's already given his son, how could he stop at anything else. He can't have a son standing next to him like a parent saying, hey, you know what, why don't you share your toy with the neighbors? And your kid says, they might break it. And then I discover the neighbor needs a car. And I say, well, they might break it, right? I can't make my child do something that then I wouldn't be willing to do myself. We're told God said to his son, give up your life for the sake of these people who don't deserve it. If he did that, he will do anything. So we discover in God not only a God who understands authority, a God who rescues us, and a God who has complete authority, yet in his complete authority, he loves us, right? We want the ways of the one who loves us so much. He is a God who gives everything with all authority, and yet gives everything that we can have life. So what Simon needed to learn is that Jesus is Lord. He is God. He's not one to add to the mix of things. He's now the definition of things. That he is the one who can be completely trusted with all that we have and all that we are. And there's a verse from Psalm 16, and I'll put it on the screen, that to me is very significant. Let me just jump ahead to this. That the psalmist said this verse here from Psalm 16:2. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. So the reality is sometimes following Jesus Christ is challenging. Simon had to give up his fame. People loved him. People praised him. People thought he's a great person. And he says, well, I want Jesus, but I still want praise. And there are things that we have. We say, I want Jesus, but I still have other stuff I want in my life. The psalmist says, apart from him, I don't have anything that's good. And that image for me is so helpful. I say, you know what? I really would like success in my career. I would like academic success at MSU. I spent a lot of my career saying, I wish people thought better of me. This might not matter to a lot of you. I'm not tenure stream on campus, but I have a title that makes it seem like I could be like the other professors. But I felt all the time, I'm not like the other professors because I'm not in the same group as them. I felt like they're more important and they don't value me. And I realized that mattered more to me than it did to them. It didn't matter to them, but it mattered to me because I have pride. I say, I want that. And so I say, well, what if I could have that? I want that. And Simon says, I want that praise from people. He had to say, you know what? Even if I have no praise from people, I want Jesus. The psalmist says, there's nothing else that I could have that I want that if I lose Jesus. I want him. And if I could have the praise of people but lose Jesus, the psalmist says, I don't want that. If I have to give up praise to be with Jesus, he says, I want that. He says, apart from him, I have nothing that's good. So the bottom line is sometimes I try to juggle life and I try to juggle Christianity as I juggle other things. Man, it doesn't work any better than anything else that I try to juggle. What I have to be willing to do is set down the other things I'm trying to juggle and say, I want Jesus. And whatever he puts back in the mix, that's great, I will take that. And Simon eventually, I think, said that. We don't know for sure at the end of the story. But he said, you know what, if I have to give up fame to have Jesus, if I have to give up my money to have Jesus, if I have to give up my family to have Jesus. He was told, you need to do that. And it's an open-ended story. We're not told what Simon did. There's a church tradition that says Simon continued to rebel against God. We don't know. And it's wonderful we don't know because that puts us in the story and we say, I'm like Simon, and I realize I'm very much like Simon. Maybe you are too. I don't know. But I say, you know what? I would like these other things, but I realize at the core what I need is Jesus. I need the Lord Jesus Christ. I need all three parts. And when I have that, I find in him somebody who loves me beyond my comprehension. He would give up his life to rescue me. Then I'm willing to say to that authority, whatever you say, that'll be okay. Because apart from him, I don't have anything worth keeping. I say to my Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. I don't know what Simon chose to do, but it's an invitation to us today to say, that's true. All the other stuff, I could set it aside because I don't want to lose Jesus. My Lord, my Savior, the one who knows me best, who loves me the most. I want him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Simon struggled with a great choice. Father, some of us today are struggling with the choice. We see in Jesus one we love, and yet we see other things. We like those things too. It was a hard choice for Simon. Father, I pray for us today, whether for the first time or whether yet again, we say, apart from Jesus, we don't have anything worth keeping. In him, we find life itself. We thank you, Jesus, that you are Lord, that you have total authority, that you are a Savior who has given your life, that you are Jesus who understands the challenges of life and loves us in that. We thank you. We bow to you alone, our sovereign Lord. And one day we will see your glory. We rejoice in that. Through your grace, through your sacrifice, through your love, we pray. Amen.